The Medrash Rabbah has a comment on the opening pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, Eretz Megurei Oviv. The Medrash understands it to come from the word Ligayer, to convert. That Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu were actively involved in proselytizing the Goyim. Avraham is Megayeris Hanoshim, Esorah Megayeris is Hanoshim. It was Bekum V'yaseh. Now we no longer actively are looking for converts. The Gemara says, why were the Jewish people sent into Golus all over the world in order to pick up some Gerim? But we don't do it Bekum V'yaseh. It's B'shev Yaltaseh. We observe our mitzvahs, and then whoever sees us falls in love with the Jewish religion, okay, so they'll join along, but we don't actively get involved. When did we change? When did this change? The Medrash says that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov, all three were proselytizing Mikum Yasei. So when did it change? So the Meshech Chochma has an interesting suggestion on last week's Parsha. It says when Yankov Avinu came back to Eretz Yisrael, and he came to the city Shechem, Vayichan as Pnei Ha'ir. So the Gemara has different interpretations on the verb Vayichan. So one interpretation is, he gave chen to the city, that he introduced wonderful things. He introduced a monetary system, and he introduced a shopping mall, and he introduced bathhouses for hygiene purposes. Loshen chen. He improved the city. He felt that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him an S, that of Hatzalah from Lavan, so he felt he has to give back to mankind. That's how the Gemara says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai survived in the cave when he was hiding Benes, so he felt also like Yankov Avinu has to give something back to the Jewish people. So, and then the Gemara has another level of interpretation. V'yichon miloshen chanoya, not miloshen chen. V'yichon es pnei huir. It was kaveh tchum Shabbos. What do you mean it's kaveh tchum Shabbos? I mean, he came Erev Shabbos. He came to Shechem Erev Shabbos. That's the Pashup Shat. And he established how far they can walk, how far the children can walk. So the Meshech Chochma suggests maybe it means something more than that. Maybe it doesn't mean so much that he came Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes and he was kaveh where you can walk, but rather the idea of Tchum Shabbos is Al Yetzi Ish Bem Komo. So maybe that was when Yaakov Avinu had all of his children already. Unlike Avraham Avinu, who he had only one son, only Yitzchak will be Jewish, and the other children that he had were not Jewish. And not like Yitzchak Avinu, who had twins, and one was Jewish, one was not Jewish, Yankov Esav, be Yitzchak, but like all Yitzchak, so Yankov Avinu is what the Gemara refers to as Mitosu Shleim, all of his children were Jewish. So at that time he realized all of his children were Jewish, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, that's it, I don't have to try to proselytize to the Yom HaSoylam, I'm just going to work with my big family, we'll work on our own children, try to keep Torah mitzvahs, and we'll b'shev al-taseh, we'll leave an impression. We're supposed to serve as Or LaGoyim, as a light unto the nations. That's what the Navi Yeshaya says, more than once says in Yeshaya, Jewish people are supposed to serve as Or LaGoyim. It says in Chumash like that also, we're Or LaGoyim, but passively, we just mind our own business, and we mele serve as Or LaGoyim. We don't actively go and proselytize. So Meshech Chochma thinks that that's when it changed. After all, the children were born, and Yankov Avinu realized that they were all Jewish. Right? So he worked with his own children, with his own family. Rashi and Chumash, Rashi and the Parsha quotes a different comment from the Medrash.
How is that related to Tchum Shabbos?
The pasuk from which the Gemara learns that Tchumin, there's a machloikas atanayim, whether Tchumin is the Raisa, the Rabbanan. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that Tchumin is Lav the Raisa, the Ramah paskin is all Tchumin. There's Lav Derais, even Yud Beis Mil, the Mechaber Pasul like the Rambam and the Rif and the Yerushalmi, that Yud Beis Mil is Tchumen Derais. The Bavli never says a word about Yud Beis Mil. So the Ramah Paskins like the Bali Ataisus, there's no Tchumen at all. So the Mokker of the Din of Tchumen or the Asmachte, if you assume that the whole concept of Tchumen is only Rabbanon, is the Pasuk in Chumash Mos that says, Al Yetzi Ish Bem Koma Bayam Ashvi. We shouldn't go out. We should stay within our own confines. So the Meshech Chochma understands that that's the concept. That's what the Medrash is alluding to. He was kaveh tchum Shabbos. Doesn't mean that Shabbos. Doesn't mean tchum Shabbos. It means I'm going to mind my own business. I'm going to stay within my own dalaramas. I'm not going to go actively to proselytize to others.
You were saying this week, I said in terms of Zachin, that after being Jewish, I'm all positive. So why wouldn't we want to be Megayer everybody?
Once in a long while, we have a ger katmat bil masa das bezen, but I don't know. Not mechuyev what? Yeah, the Gemara says all the non-Jews who were adults already, who used to eating non-kosher and running around with girls and all kinds of other things, so by them it's much more difficult to convert a little baby, but assume as an act of zochen. To convert an adult is a difficult thing. But you're asking, why don't we preach Judaism? Why don't we preach monotheism to the goyim and try to get them to convert? I don't know. We don't. We don't do it anymore. Rashi HaChomish quotes a different understanding from the Medrash. Eretz Meguriyav, not Meloshin Gerus, conversion Meloshin Logur. Ger means I'm living here temporarily. And the Toshav, like Avraham Avinu says, Ger V'Toshav Anochi Yimochem, Rashi quotes in the Medrash, isn't that a contradiction? How does he say Ger V'Toshav? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Im Tirtza Hareni Ger, Im Lav Hareni Toshav. Here also it's a problem. It says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Meguriyaviv. That his parents, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, lived there temporarily. They didn't really feel that they're living there kavua, permanently. And Yaakov Avinu, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. He wanted to have a Yeshev, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, no, it's Megure. For you, it's also going to be Megure. What does that mean? Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash. The tzaddikim like to relax. I want to wake up daven at the 7 o'clock minyan, and then I want to learn my daf yomi, then I want to go to work, and then I want to have a lunch break, and I want to learn whatever mishnah is. I have a whole system; everything should work out well. And the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't let the tzaddikim lead a calm life. There's always something stormy, always issues coming up. That's what life is all about—to deal with. That's the challenge of a human being, is to deal with all the challenges of life and to exercise your b'chir chavshis to overcome all the difficulties. If there wouldn't be any yetzer hara, so there's no kunst in living. The Rebbeinu Shlom implanted within us a yetzer hara, and he wants us to overcome the yetzer hara, to fight against the yetzer hara. The beginning of the Tkufas Bayisheni, the Gemara has comments on the psukim in Nevuas and Zechariah. Rashi quotes at the beginning of Zechariah. Zechariah is the most obscure sefer in all the Tanakh. We don't understand what the psukim are driving at, unless you have a tradition. So there's a parsha there in Zechariah where it talks about succeeding in trapping this evil thing in a metal container. And whoever is talking there succeeded. What do you mean? What's the metal container? What do they trap? So the Gemara has a tradition that it means Anshik Nes Hagdol of Prey Takarish Baruch Hu, and their prayers were answered, and they succeeded in being Mevatel the Yetzahar of Avodah Zarah. Unfortunately, there's still Jews who worship Avodah Zarah, but not to the same extent that it used to be years ago. It used to be a tremendous Yetzahar of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells a story in the end, in the last parak in Sanhedrin, Parak Chelek, that one of the Amoraim told the students that tomorrow morning we're going to give a shir on these malachim in Tanakh who worshipped Avodah Zarah. He made a negative comment about the kings, why they worshipped Avodah Zarah. So that night he had a dream, and that king came to him in his dream, and he asked him, when you say hamotzi, how are you supposed to cut the bread? Which piece of the bread are you supposed to eat first? So he said, I don't know. So he said, you don't know, and you're making fun of me. I'm a bigger talmid chacham than you. So he tells me he's supposed to take from the part, from the crust. He said, Moshe, he's supposed to take from the crust. And Shulchan Aruch Zemachleg is the top crust to the bottom crust. So they recommend you should fold over the challah and eat top crust and bottom crust together because of the machlekes. But this king who was over there with the Zohar, so he told the Amara, you don't know that, you don't know that din, and you're making fun of me. So he asks him in his dream, so why do you worship Avodah Zarah if you're so knowledgeable? So he said, my dear friend, if you would have lived in my generation, you would have picked up your kapata, you would have run also to worship Avodah Zarah. There was such a drive, there was such a cheshik, there was a taiva to worship Avodah Zarah. We don't understand. We have a taiva for women, for money, for food, a taiva for Avodah Zarah. So what is there? To make a totem pole and to bow down to it. Why should one have a desire to worship Avodah Zarah? But that's what it was. Somehow, for many generations, there was a tremendous taiva for Avodah Zarah. And then the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mispalel. That's what the parsha in Zechariah is referring to. And they trapped this female evil, the epitome of evil, the Yetzer Hara v'Avodah Zarah. So then Then Gemara says they saw the prayers were answered, so they said, let's be mispal, we should abolish the Yetzirah of Gili Arayis. So they prayed, and their prayers were answered, and all over the world, their prayers were answered, and the hens didn't become pregnant. The hens didn't lay any eggs. No males had desires for females, no females had desires for males, and the whole world was going to become paralyzed. No one's going to have any children if you don't have a desire for a woman. So the Gemara says they realized that was a silly prayer, so they prayed to Rabbanu Shlom, he should tone it down a little bit. So the Gemara says it was toned down, that now people don't have a desire for incest like they used to. Some people still practice incest, but Eishes Ish is still very common to violate Eishes Ish, but incest is less than it used to be because of the prayers of the Anshei Knesset
Gedolim. In Rebbe's opinion, is this Menjush to be taken literally?
I think so. So at that time, at the beginning of the Baisheni period, there's no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, so there's no challenge in living. That's one of the major Yetzirahs you have to have. So the Gemara seems to imply that from that time on, it descended a new Yetzirah, Yetzirah for Apikursus, for Minus. The Mishnah says in the last parak in Brachas, Mishikilkalu haminim, when the minim started to tumble and they didn't believe in Olam Abo, so the Chachamim introduced the Nusach of Abrach and the Beis HaMikdosh. Whenever they say Abrach, let's say they say Magen Abraham, when they're davening Shmon Esrei, so you should say Baruch Atah Hashem, Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam, Magen Abraham. Every Baruch you should emphasize, Min Ha'olam Ad Ha'olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules in Olam Hazeh and Olam Abo. To emphasize, because the minim didn't believe in Olam Abo. So when was that? When is the first time you find the Nusach Min Olam Ad Olam? So the commentaries on that Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the last parak, point out that's when the first day in the Baisheni period. Kilkul Aminim is not later, some later period, in the middle of the Baisheni when you had the Tzdukim and the Baisusim. That was from day number one. And that's how the Rambam writes when he quotes the Seder HaVaida on Yom Kippurim. So they had the Tzdukim. For many years, the Tzdukim are running the show in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were macro karbonos according to their understanding. So the Chachamim had a fight against this. Several of the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis is when they succeeded taking control of the Beis HaMikdash and being macro with the karbonos properly. So when the Rambam writes in the Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, that there were a lot of tzdukim in the Baisheni, so he writes the Baisheni period was a period of apikursus, as if the whole tkufa was a period of apikursus. So that's why there had to be mashbir the kain gadol, that he's going to do the avodah properly the way the Sanhedrin taught him. He's not going to do the way the minim said, the way the tzdukim said. So it sounds like at the time that the yetzahara of avodah zarah wasn't as battle, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to introduce a new yetzahara for apikursus and for minus. You have to have a challenge in life. It can't be tzaddikim want to relax. This life is not for relaxing. It's supposed to have challenges all the time. People are supposed to have difficulties all the time. And they're given the ability to overcome the difficulties. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't give us nisyanis that we can't deal with. I remember there was a guest from Eretz Yisrael here about 15 years ago. So he told us that he knew a Sephardish family in Eretz Yisrael who lost 3 sons in 3 different wars. And that was it. They had 3 sons, and all the 3 sons were killed in the 3 wars. So when the people came to be Menachem Avil when the 3rd son was killed, said that no one knew what he's supposed to say. How can you be Menachem Avil to the parents? So he said, this man is telling us that the father who lost the children, he told them, he started, the people didn't know what to say. So he said that he heard from the Sava Kadisha, he heard in the name of the Sava Kadisha. There was a big Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael years ago, whose name was Alefendri. So he was known as the Sava Kadisha, he was very old. So he made a comment on the Pasuk in Tilim that we say in Davin HaNes and Shelek Katzomek for Kwefa Yifazer. So the Pasuk Peshat is HaNes and Shelek Katzomek. When the snow falls down, it looks like blotches of wool, like woolen bits of woolen puffs. So he gave an additional interpretation. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives so much snow in accordance with how much woolen clothing you have. If you have a lot of woolen clothing, so you'll be able to withstand any sun, so then it's going to bring a lot of snow. If you don't have enough woolen clothing, and you're going to freeze, you're going to get cold. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't bring so much snow. So he said, the Alaf Endri said that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam only gives nisyanis to people whom he gave them the koyach to succeed and to overcome the nisyanis. A person who doesn't have the ability to succeed and overcome the nisyanis is a person who's a lab bardas, that doesn't have chivur chavshis to succeed in life. That's a lab bardas. But to normal people, we all have the ability to overcome the nisyanis. So life is always full of challenges. So that's what Rashi says in the name of the Medrash, that tzaddikim want to relax in this life. They figured out a whole system. Daven at the Vasikim minyan, then we're going to learn, then we're going to go make a little panos and do this and that. The system is not supposed to be so easy. Life is supposed to be full of challenges. Rashi quotes from the Medrash commenting on the pasuk, "Vuhu nar is b'nei bilhav, b'nei zilpa." Vuhu nar means he was acting like a childish. There's another Medrash that says, different Medrash, in Dvarim, that says childlike. Kinari Sova Ohavehu, that's a maila, that a person is childlike, but childish is a chisarn. See, the Medrash says he was misalsal b'sairai, he was always misakan b'sairam, memashmej be'enov, a little bit childish. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam punished him, sometimes people, some yeshivish people like to look b'davke sloppy. So they'll wear dafke worn-out shoes, and they won't polish the shoes, and their jacket will be sloppy, and the head will be bad, hat will be crooked, everything is sloppy, to show, well, we're not childish. We're not like Yosef HaTzadik. You and I. And other people will dress normally, and other people will just be ship-shape exactly. They'll take a haircut all the time. They'll trim their beard. Everything looks exactly so. So that, per se, is not a chisaron. If a person wants to dress nicely, sharply, that's not a chisaron. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Medrash says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was upset that Yosef HaTzadik, his father is an avelus, the father thought that he was dead, and he's mesalsel b'sairai. Then he was angry, why? The father is observing avelus, thinking that Yosef died, and he's dressing up like this. But this per se, that he continued to dress not only when he was a young boy, he continued later on in life, that per se is not a chisaron. There were prominent rabbanim. He used to dress very nicely. That itself is not a chisar, unless the person just wants everybody to see how good looking he is. That's a chisar. The pasuk says that Yosef told the father lashon hara about the brothers. The Medrash says he was punished for that. That's why he was punished. He was put in prison. The Medrash says he had to sit in prison another 2 years because he didn't have enough bitachon. He asked the sar mashkim to get him out. But why did he sit in prison the first 10 years? So the Medrash says, because he spoke Lashon Hara. Vayavar Yosef is dibosam ro'a el avihim. Why did he talk to tell Lashon Hara? What's going on here? So one of the svarim that was written 100 years ago, there's a sefer, Afike Yam. The author of the sefer was a big Talmid Chacham. He was a businessman. And then there was a whole group of big Talmid Chacham who were successful in the business, and then later on they went into the Rabbanus. So he was one of them. He was first a businessman, then he had a Rabbanus. So in the beginning of the Sefer, Afike Yam, he quotes a lot Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, and he quotes the Or Sameach. He had conversations with them and learning different things, Noshim and Ezekin mainly. So in the beginning of the Sefer, he has an essay on this. So he quotes on the Chofetz Chaim, when it's permissible to tell Lashon Hara. The quote says, Igmar in the last parak of Sochim, that if I see a Talmud who's not behaving properly, I say, I see a Talmud, he never shows up in Minyan. So there's nothing wrong. Other Abbot's proper to tell his Rebbe, this Talmud never shows up in Minyan. Maybe you can talk to him and straighten him out. So you see a Talmud doing something improper. So you speak, if you think there's a chance that the Rebbe will be able to give him Tochach and straighten him out. So it's proper to whenever there's Toelus Labo. So then there's no Issa, then it's permissible and it's recommended to tell Lashon Hara. But the Chafetz Chaim says you have to tell over this story, Dvarim Kava Yosef. You're not allowed to exaggerate, you're not allowed to make up stories. So in this Sefer, Afike Yam, he suggests maybe that's what it means, Vayove Yosef. Why does he say Vayove? He brought it, He just described Dvarim Kavayosam El Avihem to their father, because their father was their Rebbe, and they thought their father would give him Tochacha. He didn't tell a Loshen Hara to the father. He should be the favorite son, that the father should love him more than the others. That the other one hit me, and I'm the Tzaddik, and he's the Rasha. The father should have more love to him. No? He wanted the father to give Tochacha to their brothers. By Yavi Yosef, was the Basim Roh, he did it L'Shem Shemaim. So why was he punished? The Medrash says he was punished, that it was an Issa Loshen Hara. He's trying to explain it not like that Medrash, that he did the right thing. What was the Loshen Hara? So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he saw the meaning, gave Menachai, other things, wild things. Whoop. So there's the Mishlah Melech wrote a Sefer of Drush that's called Parashas Drachim. And he has beautiful essays there, an essay about Milas Eretz Yisrael, about Milas Hatzdokah, an essay about Malchus Beis David, different essays about different topics. So he has one essay, the Sefer is more famous for this one essay, about the status of the Ovis Koyde Matan Torah, whether they had a din of Bnei Noach, or they were Yotze Mechlal Bnei Noach, they had a din of Israel. So he says, this was he quotes from earlier Meforshim. The Sipsa Chachamim quotes the beginning of this pshat, that they must have been eating Ev Menachai from a Ben Pekua. They must have shechted a pregnant cow. And then the Ben Pekua is Nita B'Shchita Simon. And then there's no Issa Ev Menachai. So Yosef must have seen the brothers ripping off limbs from the animal and roasting them. That's Ev Menachai. But the brothers held that they were Yotze Mechlal B'nei Noach. So there's no Issa Ev Menachai because it's a Ben Pekua Nita B'Shchita Simon. Yosef thought that they were lo yotze mechlal b'nei noach. They didn't have the din of ben pekuah nita b'shchita simon. He asked his whole pilpul that this was a machlekes Yosef and the brothers. Then he goes weiter. He says other psukim and other midrashim. This was a major ongoing debate that they had in Bereishis. This machlekes the Ramban and the Bali Ataisus. The Bali Ataisus held that they had a din of b'nei noach, and the Ramban holds they had a din of Yisrael. So this machlekes in the end of Perek Cheskes Habatin and Bava Basra, the Gemara says Rabbi Bano was in charge of being mitzayin the kvorim. You have to put siyunim to know where a kever is. A kohen should know not to be mitami over there. So he was mitzayin the Moros HaMachpelah, that people should know not to go there. So Tosfos asked the kasha, there are no Jews buried in Moros HaMachpelah. They're all non-Jews, and non-Jews not mitami ba'oil. If you hold a non-Jew is not mitami ba'oil, so what did you have to be mitzayin the Moros HaMachpelah for? Kohanim are allowed to go in Moros HaMachpelah. That's what Tosfos asks. And the Gemara, you see, they're not allowed to go. You see from the Gemara, Kohanim are not allowed to go in Moros HaMachpelah. So Tosfos says, how do you know that a goy is not mitami ba'oil? Because it says, Atem kriim odem, odem kiyom is ba'oil. Atem kriim odem, einem is odem kriim odem, based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. But Odem Rishon was buried there. Odem Rishon is odem. So Odem Rishon is mitami ba'oil. And Tosfos says, and there's a pasuk in Novi that Avraham Avinu is referred to as Ha'odem Hagadol Ba'anokim. So Avraham Avinu was a goy. Adam Rishon was also a goy, but Adam Rishon was Adam, and Avraham Avinu is referred to as Adam. So these two are mitami boil. That's what Tosfos says. The others are taka goyim, not mitami boil. But Kohanim are not allowed to go to the Moros HaMachpelah. That's what it says Beferish. Kohanim are not allowed to go to the Moros HaMachpelah. That's the Gemara in Cheskes Habat. And Rabbi Bano habim mitzayin Ma'arto, he was mitzayin the Ma'ora. So the Ramban there, and the Gemara says he doesn't understand what kind of a silly kasha. Avraham Yitzchak Yankov had buried there. Of course they're Jewish. Well, what are they talking about? So that's the famous machlek, is the Ramban and the Tosfos. He can, the Mishlah Mel quotes it from the Ramban Ala Torah. The Ramban Ala Torah disagrees with the Bali on Tosfos. The Pasuk says in Chumash Vayikra about the Megadev. How does it say? Vayetzish. I forgot already the pasuk. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifra, on that pasuk. Valamenshin is Geyer, that the Megadev was Jewish. He converted. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, why did he have to convert? It says his mother was Shlomis Bazdivri LeMatidon. His mother was Jewish. His father was a goy. His mother was Jewish. Why did he have to convert? So Tosfos says that Kodem Matan Torah, the Jews had the din of Bnei Noach, and the status of the child when you have a mixed marriage, the father's an Amaleki and the mother's a Chivi, whatever. So what status do the children have if you have a mixed marriage? So the Gemara says, it's determined by the father. So this Kodem Matan Torah, the Megadeth was born way before Matan Torah. So therefore, even though his mother was Jewish, but his father was a Mitzri, the Pasuk says in Chumash. So therefore, he was a Mitzri, so he had to convert. That's what Tosfos says. And Rabban Chumash quotes this from Tosfos. He says, where did he get such a wild idea? From the days that Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah milah, so he was Jewish, we were all Jewish. And once they're Jewish, so the halacha says, there are different opinions. We paskin that the status of the children in a mixed marriage is determined by the mother. So if the mother was Jewish, Lamez Bazdibi the Matidon, so the Megadev should have also been Jewish. So why does it say Malamachin is Gaia? So the Ramban says, no, Malamachin is Gaia means he was present at Har Sinai when all of the Jewish people were in his Geir. It was nothing different between him and everybody else. Everybody was in his Geir. And the Gemara says, Maimon Har Sinai was the national Geiris of all of Kal Yisrael. The phrase, Malam Shen his Geir, means he was present on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai. He was there with everybody else, with all the other Shishim Rivim. So that's the famous Machlokes, the Ramban and Tosfos, on the Gemara in the end of Chesed Kabbatim and Al-Chumash, whether the Obis Kodem Matar had the din of Bnei Noach, or the Yotz Mechlal Bnei Noach. So the Mishlam Melech makes this pilpul. He said, we know it's a machlokes Tosfos in the Ramban. So he makes a whole pilpul. That was the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers and Lushi Tosfos and all kinds of funny interpretations. And that's famous. One of the earlier generations, second, third generation, I forgot about it. One of the earlier Chassidish Rebbe said, how did he know? We don't know. He said that in Bezen Shalmaila there was a kitrug against Bnei Yisrael when the Sefer Parashas Drachim was published. Because they considered that he's making leitzanah from the Torah. That this was the machlokes Yosef and the brothers, whether the others had a din of bnei noach, or yotzei mechlal bnei noach. But that's the famous Mishlam Melech. He has the famous comment in his Drush Sefer, and the Pasuk in today said, but that was machlokes, whether the brothers held that it wasn't Eiv Menachai, and Yosef held that it was Eiv Menachai. The Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu showered his love upon his son Yosef more than the others, and he demonstrated it by giving him Ksonis Pasim. And then the very next pasuk says that it was a disaster. It ripped apart the whole family. So the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechus Shabbos, the pasuk writes it to condemn Yaakov Avinu. The pasuk is saying that he did wrong. So the Gemara says even if you have a lot of children, and one child behaves much better than the other, and he davens in shul all the time, and he's always makpid on the mitzvahs. You shouldn't discriminate against the children. Shouldn't show more love to one child. Maybe in your heart you can have love, but you shouldn't demonstrate that you have more love for one child than the others. Look over here, what happened? So the Gemara said, the Ksenis Pasim was a dollar more expensive than everybody else. Everybody else's suits were $100. His suit was $101. It wasn't so much of a difference between the Ksenis Pasim and the others. For the one lousy dollar that Yaakov Avinu spent more on the Ksenis Pasim for him than the other brothers, so it ripped apart the whole family and they sold him into slavery. So the Gemara says you should learn from the Chumash that you shouldn't do that. Usually we look to the others and we assume whatever is written in the Chumash is written to approve of what they did, and we should emulate them. We should do the same, unless it says beferish that they did wrong here. The Gemara says, hear it, that's what it says, that Yaakov Avinu showed favoritism to Yosef over the other brothers, and this is what caused the whole rift in the family. So Yosef has his chaloimus, and he feels, that's how the Rishayim say, the Gemara says, achalayim is echad mishishin b'nevuah. All chalayim is echad mishishin b'nevuah. So he felt that if he's not going to tell his father, not going to tell the brother, he's going to be a p'china of koivish nevuah. So he tells him the chalayim is, and they all got upset over it. And they said to him, ha-maloch timloch alayinim, ha-shol tim shalbanu, and they hated him more. So there's a famous comment from the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Agra Mishle, he has this. Bir Agra Mishle was not written by the Grov, it was written by Talmidim. Most of the Svarim of the Grov and Tanakh were written by Talmidim. Bir Agra Shulchan Aruch, that was written by the Grov. The others were written, they heard over from the Vilna Gaon, so they wrote it over in his name. Anyway, we assume it's accurate, so they have a famous comment on the Pasuk, which is attributed to other Gdolim as well, but this says in the Bir Agra Mishle, that there's a difference between a melech and a moshel. The Melech is the one who is accepted by the nation. They elected him. They chose him as the king. And the Moshel is the one who is ruling against their wishes. So that's what they said to Yosef. It's not just a repetition of the same expression. They said to him, you will neither be elected by us to be the king. We're not going to accept you. We can't stand you. And you will not bop us over the head. You will not balabata over us against our wishes either. Moshe Moshotim Shobanu is Balkorcham and Malochtim Rochalenu is Medaita. That's how the Vilna Gaon interpreted the Pasuk, Hashem Amlucho, Moshe Bagoim. That the world right now, so only the Jewish people accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. Hashem Amlucho, we accept him. Moshe Bagoim, over the Yom Soilim, he Balabatav is against their wishes. The day will come, Hashem the Melech on Kol Haaretz. The day will come that all the nations of the world will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. Right now he's only the Melech over those who accepted him, namely the Jewish nation. So the Velt Es Takasha, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, talks about the Takanas Chachamim, maybe the Din Deraisa, to say Malchus, Achranus, and Shofres, and Davening. Rashi holds that it's a Din Deraisa, you have to say Malchus, Achranus, and Shofres. But the Mishnah says you have to mention Psukim. That's probably only the Rabbanim. That when you say the tefillah of Malchus on the Shofar, so you have to mention psukim from Torah, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim. So Gemara says you shouldn't say psukim of Puranus, unless it's Puranus for the Umasalim. It shouldn't include psukim of Puranus Lisrael. So the Gemara says, what about the following pasuk? Im lo biyad chazoko uvizra netuye b'chem ashvucha em lach aleichem, Amar Hashem. The Rabban Shalom says he's gonna be the melech over the Jewish people, even if he has to kill him. How can you use a lashon emlach aleichem if emlach means midaiton? And here the pasuk says balkarcham. So that's what the Velt asks on this comment. How can the Vilna Gaon and others say the same? How can they say that? What do you do with the pasuk in Yechezkel? So some say, based on the Rambam at the end of Perek Beis in Hilchas Gerushin, the Gemara in Yechezkel Sabbatim has a din that Tolyuhu v'zovin zvina zvina. The Gemara says, if you hold a gun to someone, let's say the guy has a painting in his house. We discussed it when we learned about the Sachman Linshi below the main Mashmalu. So we spoke about it a little bit. So the Gemara, we paskal like Rafuna. The Tolyub is oven's vinevzin. If you hold a gun to the guy's head and you say, I'm going to shoot you unless you give me this Rembrandt for nothing. So that's, he gives you for nothing, he doesn't want you to kill him. So you're not kaina. It's not yours. But if I ask how much does it cost, it's worth $100,000. And he says, but it's not for sale. I don't want to sell it. So if I hold the gun and I pressure him till he sells it to me, so then the Gemara says, Tolyub is oven. Tolyub yoiv is no good. But Tolyub is oven, I paid him $100,000. And sometimes people, when they're really in need of money, sometimes people will sell their personal belongings in order to pay up their debt. So over here, he's in need of money because I'm going to kill him if he doesn't sell it to me. So it's not that unreasonable. He should agree to sell it to me. So Gemara says, don't you have a rife in the Mishnah in Erchin like that? The Mishnah says in Erchin that sometimes when the wife has a taina against the husband that he's not treating her properly, so sometimes the Bezin has a right to force the husband to give his wife a get, even to the extent of beating him up. Makanosal shiyam eroitzani, beat him up till either he drops dead, so she'll become an almana, or till he'll give in and he'll give the get. So the Mishnah says, if he says roitzani, then it's all good. So the Gemara says, why is it good? So doesn't it sound like Rav Huna said that Tolyub is oven, zvina is vina? That if you pressure a person to do something that's not unreasonable, if you pressure a person to, he should give away all of his money, Tolyub is oven, that's unreasonable. But over here, it's not unreasonable. He's not treating his wife properly. And Yosha dictates that he should free her. Let him go marry someone else. It's not a good shidduch. So it's not fair. So you're not pressuring to do something that's unreasonable. So the Gemara says, isn't the Mishnah right that Rav Huna's din? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. One could say that the reason for the Mishnah is different, that since everybody wants to follow what the Chachamim instruct them, and the Bezin tells the man, you're supposed to give your wife a get, so deep down in his heart, that's what we assume he really wants. So the Rambam has the long, elaborate explanation, the end of Perek Beis and Hilchos Gerushin. That's what we, when we learned that Gemara about Lo Sachman Linshe below the Me'am Ashmon, so we mentioned that the Achayim are bothered with the Kasha. If you hold, the Rambam Paskins like Rav Huna, Tolyub is oven, Zvina is Zvina. So what did he have to give the other Pshat in the Gemara? He should have just said, Tolyub, and he gave a get. It's not an unreasonable thing that they're forcing him to do. So it's a steer in the Rambam. Rambam quotes the other dechia of the Gemara. Even if you hold not like Rav Huna, you won't think that Tol Yovel Zaven is good. But over here, by the Get Bal Korcha, it is good, because deep down, every Jew really wants to observe all the mitzvahs. That's what the Bala Tanya called the Ava HaMesuteris. There's a hidden love. There's a hidden love that every Jew is born with, probably because of the fact that the Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kula before the baby is born. So that's where this Ava HaMesuteris comes from. So the Velt says that the Pshat and the Pasuk it's also Emlach Aleichem. The Rabban Shalom will force himself upon the Jewish people. The Jewish people deep down in the heart really do are accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a pseudo-personality. It's not our real selves when we say we don't want to accept the Rabban Shalom as the Melech. We don't want to keep mitzvahs. Deep down in the heart, we do want to. So that's how the Velt says. Maybe that's the Teretz and the Kasha and the Vilna Gaon. How's he going to deal with the Pesach and Yecheskel? It's also Shaykh Emlech Aleichem, because deep down we really do want it. Possibility. You have the Pesach. Yaakov Avinu sent his son Yosef to see how the brothers are. He was doing Kibbut Aviyim, and Shluchim Mitzvah should have been Einem Nizokim. And over here he was Nizok. So what happened to the Klal Shluch Mitzvah Einim Nizokim? So the Gemara says in the first Perek in Pesachim, whenever it's Shchiyach Hazeka, then you can't rely on this Shluch Mitzvah Einim Nizokim. Apparently here there was such hatred between the brothers and Yosef, that's apparently called Shchiyach Hazeka. That's the question, what percentage Sakona do you have that it should be considered Shchiyach Hazeka? Does it mean the same as Miyu Tamatzui? Miyu Tamatzui is also a question. The Gemara has that we have a din midirabbanan. Whenever, let's say, there's a miyot hamatzui of animals that you shech, there's 70 different treifas, and most of them are miyot chein shchiach, that there should be a treifas. Except for sirchas on the lungs, that's a miyot hamatzui. That's what the Ramban writes. So that's why the Ramban has midrashim, and this never appears in the Gemara. He has a medrash that after you shech the behema, you don't eat right away. You have to check the lungs to make sure that there are no sircha. So the Ramban asks, why don't you check for the other 69 categories of treifas? So he says, no, the answer is, the medrashit means that the other 69 are miyot shein hamatzei, and sirchas on the lungs are miyot hamatzei. So that's the question, what percentage of incidents of treifas do you have that it should be considered a miyot hamatzei? So the Mishkan is Yankiv writes in his tshuva that was always assumed 10%. And Rabbi Yashiv claims in Eretz Yisrael the incidence of sirchas on the lungs is only 7%. Different countries, different percent. Rabbi Neuwirth, we mentioned Rabbi Neuwirth, who wrote the Shmir Shabbat Chos, said that for a while he used to travel all the time to Argentina to supervise the shchita of the meat that was imported into Eretz Yisrael. So he said there in Argentina it's only 5% of the animals have the sirchas on the lungs. Apparently the air is less polluted over there. It has to do with breathing in the air. So whatever Mir Tamatzi is, usually assumed to be 10% or above. Rabbi Yashiv had his chumer 7%. So is that the same over here? When the Gemara says, whenever it's Shchiach Hazeka, then you shouldn't rely on Shluchim Mitzvah. Shchiach Hazeka means Mir Tamatzi. Or does it mean something other than Mir Tamatzei? I always said it means Mir Tamatzei. Rav Chanan Vassman has an essay in the Kovet Shurim where he assumes that it's not the same as Mir Tamatzei. He assumes that it's a higher percentage. I don't know how he knows. I don't know how you can ascertain it.
What was Yaakov thinking? Yaakov wasn't worried.
Apparently he didn't realize that it was a Shchiach Hazeka. He was an old man, and he didn't notice how much antagonism there was towards Yosef. What was Yosef thinking? Yosef should have known not to go. A little too frum. If you know that the Shchiach Hazeka, you're not supposed to rely. Ain't something well on this. You shouldn't rely on the Shluchim Mitzvah and Nizak. It's a problem. So the Pasuk says he came to the brothers. The brothers thought that they're going to murder him. Chul v'nahargei. Wow. They're going to kill him. What right do they have to kill him? That's what the Mefarshim have long discussions over here. Why do they think they had a right to kill a brother? They thought it was an Ovi Yashaker with the Nevuas that he's telling over. Problematic over here. So finally they decide they're not going to kill him. They're going to throw him into the bor. So it says, V'haborek ein bo mayim. So the Gemara in the Sugya of Chanukah has a famous comment. Abore came by my main bar, and Nechoshim HaKrabim Yeshbo. So if they're Nechoshim HaKrabim, so why did they throw him into the bar? They didn't want to kill him. They didn't want to kill him, so why did they throw him into a bar if they knew it had Nechoshim HaKrabim? So the Velt says that this memory in the Gemara, my main bar, Nechoshim HaKrabim Yeshbo, appears right next to the other memory from the same Amora, that if you put the Ner Chanukah and Lamayli Meser Mama, it's Lo Sholta Be'eno, so you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah, because there's no Pisum in Nisum. So the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk, the same Mandarman the Gemara quotes in connection with that. Lamayli Meser Mama says, Abo Rekei Mamam is a very deep bore. They were Nechoshim HaKrabim, but they were not aware of that. They couldn't see, so the sun wasn't shining into the bore. And they looked, it was so deep, so they couldn't notice Nechoshim HaKrabim. If they would have noticed Nechoshim HaKrabim, they wouldn't have put him in the bore. That's the Pashup shot. The Rechaim and Chumash has a whole different interpretation. He says they knew they were Nechoshim HaKrabim. But if Yosef didn't deserve to die, so Nechoshim wouldn't bite him. A human being has the ability to shoot someone else, even if the guy doesn't deserve to die. But Nechoshim HaKrabim don't have the ability to bite, lest there's a Gzer Min HaShemayim. So there's a lot of literature on that. How does he know that it's so? Who said, is it so? That a human being doesn't have the ability to shoot someone else and kill him? If there's no Gzerim in HaShemayim, Nechoshim HaKrabim, the human being does have the ability, Nechoshim HaKrabim don't have the ability. Who says it's such a difference? Because human beings have Bechira Chavshis, Nechoshim HaKrabim also have Bechira Chavshis. What does it mean? But that's a famous comment from the Arachayim HaChumash. First Reuben said, then Yehuda said, Ma betza kenarek eslachinim chesinu esdamay. So the Gemara says he used the expression "ma betza." It doesn't pay for us. We're not going to gain. Betza means money. We're not going to gain anything by letting him die there. Let's sell him as a slave. Let him live. Let's sell him as a slave. So the Gemara understands. The Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin understands that Yehuda also was making a compromise. Yehuda was like the Melech. All the brothers looked up to Yehuda until this occasion. And then, Vayered Yehuda Meisachov, then he lost his status of being looked up to as the brains, as the leader over here. So that's why it says, Vayered Yehuda Meisachov, he had a Yerida in his covet. So Yehuda, as the leader, should have said, we should bring him back to the Father and show him. And he didn't say like that. He said he was compromised. He said, my betza, what are we going to gain? It's better to do like this or like that. He should have taken a clearer stand that we shouldn't do anything to Yosef. So that's why the pasuk says, Abotzeh Beirech Niyetz Hashem. Whoever praises Yehuda for saving the life of Yosef is Niyetz Hashem. This is improper. Yehuda made a compromise over here. His compromise wasn't right. He should have insisted that they should free Yosef completely. They shouldn't harm him at all. They shouldn't even sell him into slavery. You're not supposed to praise the person that does a compromise when he could have succeeded in pushing through the correct way to do things, not the halfway. So the Basit continues to say, because of that, because he took the wrong stand over there, Yered Yehuda Meisachov, he was not respected among his brothers the same way he was until this occasion. So the pasuk says he married and he had three sons. So the psukim are very strange. The psukim say when the first baby was born, Reikushmoer, he gave the name. When the second baby was born, the wife gave the name. When the third baby was born, the wife gave the name. And it says, Oso. So what's going on over here? So there's a famous comment from the Daz Kanim in Bali Ataisvis that you see from these psukim that the father has the right to name the first baby and the mother has the right to name the second baby, and then you alternate. Father has the right to name the third baby unless the father's out of town. Father was out of town, so that's why Batikra, that's why the mother gave the name to the third baby. Otherwise, it's supposed to go, the father has the right for the first baby, the mother has the right for the second baby. There are four volumes, a collection of, like Shadus Tshuvas of the last Lubavitcher Rebbe. They don't call it Shadus Tshuvas, but the collection of letters and the arranged in the order of the Arba Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. So when it comes to naming babies, so someone asked him about naming babies, so he quotes this Das Kanim. We should follow Das Kanim. The mother, the father should have the right to name the first baby, the mother, the second baby, and you keep on alternating. Now, so Soloveitchik used to tell a story that he was the oldest child in the family, and his name is Yosef Dov. He was named after his father's grandfather. And he would say that, and then he would say, and what's the kasha? So people would look at him, why is there a kasha? What's the kasha? No one knew what he's bothering. So he says, because the din is that the mother has the right to name the first baby. So he told over that Rab Chaim, his grandfather, approached his mother after he was born, the first child was born, and he said that so far nobody was named after his father, Rabbi Yosef Dov, the author of the Beis HaLevi, and even though Al-Pidin and Al-Piminig, I don't know what this means, that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. Rabbi Chaim said, even Al-Pidin and Al-Piminig, the mother has the right to name the first baby, he's asking her to do him a toiva, that she should name the baby the name that he wants. Name the baby after his father, and if she'll agree, he's bribing her, and if she'll agree, so he'll agree to be the sandik by the bris. So she said, okay, so you'll be the sandik again. So when it came to the bris, he disappeared. He didn't want to be the sandik because he was afraid to look at blood. And then, but she agreed. They gave the baby the name, Yosef Dov. So Rav Chaim didn't live up to his half of the deal.
After Reuben convinced him not to kill him, that was said already. They're not killing him. What did Yehuda come and say? Let's not kill him.
Let's not let him die from starvation, Hastus. They're going to leave him there on the board. They didn't know. Maybe they didn't know that when the Nechosh Makrab him, but if you leave him in the bar, he's going to die from starvation. Or the animals may jump in. The Nechosh Makrab may come and kill him. So you shouldn't leave him in the bar. You should make sure that he survives. I don't know.
Didn't Yaakov's wives name children?
Yeah. My wife had all the babies. I told her she can give all the names. She made up all the names. You carry them for 9 months, you can give all the names. I have nothing to do with any of the names. Remember, Abarn Lichtenstein was here in Shul on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Nissen, Shabbos Baruch, Rosh Chodesh Nissen, I've got it ready. And I gave the name to one of my daughters, Yocheved Shira, my youngest child. So he asked me after I got my aliyah, after, who's the baby named after? So I said, my wife picked the name because Nissen, Tzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu's mother was Yocheved, and Rosh Chodesh, and he sang Halal, so Shira. So he shrugged the shoulders. I was shrugging my shoulders when I was explaining it. Shrugged the shoulders. Okay, good. Women have a different perspective on life. They pick different names. Okay. The pasuk says that Yehuda married off his son, Vayikach Yehuda Isha Le'er Bechoro, and he sinned and he was punished. Vayi Er Bechor Yehuda Rabbi Ani Hashem Vayim Yisei Hashem. He deserved Misa B'dei Shemaim and he died. And then Oinon also died. And the pasuk sounds like V'shiches Arza. The pasuk Pshat, that's how the Gemara understands that he violated Hashchas HaZera, Moitzi Zera Levatola. So the pasuk Pshat, the way the Gemara seems to understand, this is an Isa Deraisa. And it one deserves Misa B'dei Shemaim. In Ebenezer, some of the Achronim say that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk, it's only an Issa de Rabbanon. And Pshat and Pasuk means something else. But Posh Pshat and Gemara is that's how they understood the Pasuk, that this is Misa de Shema. It's considered a serious Aver. So Yehuda was afraid to let the second brother had fulfilled Yibum. They fulfilled Yibam, even Kodem Atar, they fulfilled Yibam. He was afraid to let the third son marry her. He was afraid he was also going to die. So he stalled off. He said, let's wait till he grows a little older. Ramban HaChumash has this suggestion that Tomer dressed up and impersonated a prostitute in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. The Kodem Atentar in the mitzvah of Yibum was not only restricted to the brother of the mace, even the father of the mace, the father-in-law, had twins from his daughter-in-law. That's how he suggests. So the pasuk says when she became pregnant, Vayikim mishlosh chadoshim v'yugad luhudu leim azon satama kalasecho. So he says, hotziyuhu v'sis haref. We should, poshim shah, we should kill her. Why are they going to kill her? What kind of a din? Hotziyuhu v'sis haref. So the tour in his commentary chumash quotes in a mechudishdik interpretation from Rav Yehuda HaChassid. V'sis haref doesn't mean we're going to burn her. Not that she's chayv sreif, but we're going to, they had the makam, bez makam enshin shalom en adin. It's a din hachoshim mishpat. In the beginning of Simon Beis, Simon Gimel, Beis Din, and every generation has a right to punish people, even though it doesn't correspond to what the Halacha says. L'hoi Rosh or the Migdal Milsa, you're allowed to. So they used to burn a scarlet letter. They used to burn an A, adulteress, in the woman's forehead. Said that the scarlet letter. So that's what he says over here. He used to make her look ugly by burning something into her forehead. That was the Makam Yanshin Shleim and Adin. Rashi quotes a Medrash. That Tamar was a descendant from Shem Ben Noach, and Shem was who Kohen Lekel Ayon, he was a Kohen, so she was a Bas Kohen Shazinsa. What do you mean a Bas Kohen Shazinsa? She was single. Bas Kohen Shazinsa is Chai Sreifa, she's married. She was single over here.
Shemeris Yavam, that's the worst thing she
could be. Yeah, worst it can be is Shemeris Yavam, yeah. So the Pnei Yeshua on Kiddushin has a Chiddush, but it's not accepted. He thinks that the Gemara has a pasuk to teach us that Misas Habal is matir. If a woman is married, if a Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man, the husband dies, the Misas Habal is matir. But Misas Habal is not matir by Bnei Noach. How can you say such a thing? It's against everything. An Almona is not allowed to remarry. A non-Jewish woman is not allowed to remarry. Very strange. The Rambam quotes the Rishami that there's no institution of gerushin by non-Jews. There's no din of a get. So where does that leave you if there's no din of a get? So the Yerushalmi has two opinions. So one opinion is, like the Catholic Church, they can't get divorced. They're stuck for life. Once a guy gets married, he's stuck for life. And the Rambam is more lenient. The Rambam adopts the other position. Not that they're stuck for life. You don't need a get biksav. Either he or she can initiate that. There is an institution, a gerishin, but you don't need a get biksav. So how can the Pnei Yeshua say that Mises Habal is not matir? After the husband dies, the wife says, I don't want to be married to him anymore. Goodbye. So, shame. That's the end of the marriage. If the halacha would say that by Bnei Noach, the husband has to give a get. So the husband's not alive. He can't give a get. If the din would say only the husband can break up the marriage. He died. He didn't break up the marriage. The Rambam says that either he or she can initiate the divorce proceedings. And you don't need biksav. They just, one walks away from the other, says goodbye and good luck, nice knowing you. And that's the end of the marriage. So how can the Pnei Yeshua say such a thing? It's a shver avot. So that's famous. The Tur quotes Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Hotziyu v'sis haref means they're gonna burn a mark in her forehead that everyone should know that she was a zayna. But the Gemara presents it as if they're really gonna take her life. They're really gonna burn her. And she says, Leish, she brings out the Chosamas and the Psilim and the Mata, and she says, Leish, Hashayla lo, Anochi Horo. She knew who had made her pregnant. She knew that it was Yehuda, but she didn't want to be Malvin Pnei Chaver Barab. So the Gemara says, from this parsha, we learn that it's preferable to give up your life. It's preferable to give up your life and let them burn you alive rather than to be Malvin Pnei Chaver Barab. So the Gemara seems to understand kibshuta. Sisareif means really to kill her. So Tosfos has the kasha on that Gemara site on the first parak. How come when the Gemara Sanhedrin lists off the cases of Yehoreg Val Yav, how come it doesn't mention this? How come it's only in the first parak and site in the middle of the Agadita? So the Tosfos says there's no need to mention this. There's a mefurish of pasuk and chumash. The others are not mefurish. That you say Yehoreg Val Yav or by Avodah Zarah is not mefurish, and it's a machlekes tatanaim. Some tatanaim hold you don't say yehoreg val yav by avodizor. By shvichas damim, for sure, the Gemara says that's a svara. And Gilei Arai says hukish to shvichas damim. So that we pass in all three yehoreg val yav. So that's a chiddush based on psukim. But over here, this is the chabefer, based on yalfusas. But this is a mefurish of parsha. So Tosfos says this is obvious that this is yehoreg val yav. There's a famous Rabbeinu Yoina in a Shari Tshuva. He says that we were discussing just the other day, not only do you apply Yehoreg Val Yavar, we were discussing yesterday, not only do you say Yehoreg Val Yavar on the Gimel Averis HaChamur, you say Yehoreg Val Yavar on the Abizrayus, on the Averis that are related to them. So Rabbeinu Yoina writes that Malm Penech Aver Barabim, the Gemara in Perek HaZov says, is an Abizrayu of Shvichas Domin. Because when you humiliate a person, when he's embarrassed, so his rosy cheeks turn pale, all the blood goes out of his face, goes to the lower parts of the body. So that's a form of shvichas damim. He's still alive, though. So the Rabbeinu Yonah holds that that's an abizrahu of shvichas damim, and that's why it didn't have to be listed as an additional din of Yehari Gval Yavar. It's an abizrahu of shvichas damim. The Rambam never quoted the din. So Rav Dovla Soloveitchik is quoted in the Shurim on Saita, in the first parak on Saita, saying the Rambam thought that it's only an agarta, it's an exaggeration, not to be taken literally. If you hold like the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, that v'sisa reif doesn't mean we're going to burn her alive, we're going to kill her. So for sure, it has nothing to do with giving up your life or anything. But the Gemara is trying to emphasize the Chaim HaAveira of Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, even if it's an exaggeration, but still, it's a serious Avera. We should be careful not to be Mevayish people. We have a minig that we cover over the Chalas when we say Kiddush. So Tosis has three different reasons. So one of the reasons is Sheliyir HaBas Paishosoy, that if you have wine and bread, you should really say HaMoitzi first. Because the pasuk says Eretz Chita Sarigef and Atein Averim, and the Gemara says the bracha should be recited in the order that the fruits are mentioned in the pasuk. So since Chita, the bread is usually wheat bread, so Chita is the first mention. Chita Sarigef and Gefen is the third one. So wine is the third one. Chita is the first one. So if you have bread, or cake, or cookies, and you have wine, so you should really say the Hamotzi Adam Mizayin is first, and then say the bracha and the wine second. But you can't eat the challah before you say Kiddush. That's why we say the Kiddush first. So, in order Kiddush Leyer Habas Paishasai, we cover over the Pasa. What do you mean? Come on, the Pasa has feelings. It's going to feel insulted. The Pasa is an inanimate thing. It means we should practice on inanimate things, so when it comes up, a case of a real flesh and blood human being, we should be careful not to humiliate them. Not to insult anyone, and not to be Mal Pnei Chaver Baram on a human being. So, Ad Kedei Kach, that we practice on the chalas. A lot of people are not careful. Considered a serious avera. The pasuk says that when Yosef was sold in Mitzrayim to Potiphar, so he was successful, keeps on getting ahead, and everything that he touches is always by Yosef, he's matzliach and everything. He was matzliach and everything. So the Gemara says, Shalosh Tkifas Hein. The Gemara says, take it with a Talmid Chacham Bracha. When a Talmid Chacham comes into the business, means he's an intelligent Talmid Chacham. Knows how to learn that it's not going to help. Intelligent Talmid Chacham, honest Talmid Chacham. So take it with a Talmid Chacham Bracha. A lot of Lubavitcher Hasidim used to go to the Rebbe, used to make a Meshutif in their business, because they felt that take it with the last Rebbe. Take it with the Talmid Chacham Bracha. If the Rebbe will be a shutef in the business, so then they'll be matzliach. So he used to be one of the registrars in the yeshiva, was a Lubavitcher. So he tells that when he did business, he went to the Rebbe. The Rebbe said he should make him a shutef. And when he makes Rebach, he shouldn't give it to the Rebbe, he should give it to the tzedakah. So he asked the Rebbe, should I give the tzedakah now, should I wait till I make the Rebach? So he said, the Rebbe told him, give the tzedakah now, better the Rabbanu Shalom should be a Baal Chayv to you than you should be a Baal Chayv to the Rabbanu Shalom. So he said, you give the tzedakah now, you give my share to tzedakah now, and it's smach that you're going to do well. And he did well. That was the Loshan that said, better the Rabbanu Shalom should be a Baal Chayv to you than you should be the Baal Chayv to the Rabbanu Shalom. So the Pasuk says that this handsome, good-looking guy, Yifei Toi, Yifei Mare, he didn't realize it, and Ashes Potiphar had a crush on him. And she wanted to have an affair with him. So he's careful. He's not going to violate. He didn't violate these. So the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk: the musti yuktan shalavim nirasalov bachalom. The thing that held him back from sinning. He visualized his father's image in the window. Tosfos says on the Gemara, because it says the ein ishim ababayis. But there's no one from the Anshei Habayis. There was someone there who wasn't from the Anshei Habayis. That was his father, the image of his father. So why did the image of his father hold him back from sinning? Why did that hold him back from sinning? So the Gemara tells the rest of the story. His father was a holy tzaddik, and his father said, you have the potential to be a holy tzaddik. And there's going to be a time that the Kohen Gadol is going to have an ephod. He's going to have 12 stones on the ephod. And the names of all of the Shvatim, the Holy Tzaddikim, will be written. You have a potential to have your name written on the ephod. If you want to ruin it, you won't have it. A person has a wealthy father. A father's a multimillionaire. So benoyik shabaylam, the father leaves the Yerusha to the children, so the children have an opportunity to become very wealthy. If the father is a holy tzaddik, very learned, then the children have the potential to become learned also, and to become holy tzaddikim. So why shouldn't they take over what the father has to offer them? Not only in Gashmias, why not in Ruchnias as well? So that's what the father, he visualized the father telling him, Yosef, why should you ruin your potential? You can become a holy tzaddik like me, like all the other brothers. All the names, your name can be on the ephod also. People squander their ruchniyazdika potential more than they squander their money. People have money, not to waste the money. So they put the money in a savings account, or they invest it, whatever. I remember I had a classmate. We went through everything together, high school, college, and smicha, everything together. His father died when he was very young. His father died when he was in college. And his father had an insurance policy. So he took the money from the insurance policy, he invested it, made a lot of money, reinvested. He was mamish a millionaire. So then I remember Rabbi Michael Hecht was also the same time. He's a rabbi in the high school. So he told him, stop now. Put the money in the savings account and you'll be good for the rest of your life. So he didn't stop. He kept on reinvesting. He lost everything that he had. So then had to work for a living, like everybody else had to work for a living. So people, normal people, when they have a lot of money, said they don't want to lose their money. And they want to transmit the money to the children. The children know that there's an opportunity to be wealthy. Why not? If you have a chance to be wealthy, why not? So if a person has a chance to be wealthy in a ruchnistic sense, to be a tzaddik, and he sees the image of the father as a tzaddik. The father says to him, you also have potential. He shouldn't waste that potential. So that's what held him back from sinning. Now it's time he saw the father. The father told him, you have tremendous potential. You shouldn't squander it. Rabbi Soloveitchik published an essay called Isha Halacha. So he quotes this mimer, the Musti Yukna Shalava, Nira Salova Halon, before he writes the essay. So some of the scholars were wondering what sin was Rabbi Soloveitchik contemplating, violating, that he had to see the image of his father. The essay is a hesped that he said when his father died. He said his father was an Isha Halacha. So he writes, this is the Musti Yukna Shalava. I'm giving you a description of what my father was, that's all. But in the essay, he doesn't say, when he delivered it, that was the hesped that he delivered when his father died. And there's a lot of overlap between Isha Halacha and the hesped that he delivered when his uncle died. They were the same type of person, very litvishe learners, and no chassidish shtick, and everything had to be very strict. So there's much overlap between the two. So in the essay itself, in Isha Halacha, he doesn't say that this is a description of his father. So that's why the people who didn't realize it, they were wondering, what sin was Rabbi Soloveitchik contemplating, violating, that he had to visualize his father. Just saying, this is the Musliuk Tashah. This is a description of who his father was. So Yosef is in the prison, and the Sar Mashkim and Sar Roifim have their dreams, and they tell him over the dreams. So the Yerushalmi in the last parak in Psochim has a comment. What is the source for the institution of Bar B'Kosis? So one of the sources mentioned by the Yerushalmi, the famous one is V'hotzeisi v'tzalti v'galti v'lakachti. The Arba L'shana Shal Gula, the Dalai Geulas. The Yerushalmi's Lashon is Dalai Geulas. Doesn't say Dalai, the Shana Shal Gula. Four parts of the Geula. Then Yerushalmi has another suggestion. It's Keneged, the four times that the word Kos appears over here in the end of Parshas Vayeshev. That since Kos Paro is mentioned four times, so that's why we have Arba Kosis. Therefore, why? What's the connection is a question. And then the Shaloh has a minig that we should hold when you say a bracha lakos, you should hold the kos in a very bekavadika fashion. Which way is the bekavadika way to hold? So the pasuk says that when the Sar Mashkim was serving the wine to Paro, v'atenes hakos al kaf Paro, he held the cup on the kaf, on the palm of his hand. So that's why many Hasidim will follow the Shaloh, that they hold the becher. On, instead of holding like this, like you hold a normal cup, they hold a cup of Kiddush on the palm of the hand and have the fingers go up. Others say the kafayat is over here. Different minhagim. That's what the Magen Avraham always quotes from the Shalom. So he quotes this from the Shalom. The Bekava Dikaway to all the Kos is the way Para did. But then it's HaKos HaKaf Para. Para celebrated his birthday. Yom Huleda says Paro, so there's a whole literature celebrating birthdays is only for non-Jews or is it for Jews as well. Is there anything wrong? Is there any Chukazakum and celebrating a birthday? No, no. If a person wants to give Shevach V'Hodoah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he reached another milestone in his life, that he's he reached another year, so that's a Sudas HaHodoah. You should make it into a Sudas HaHodoah. The parasha ends off with the V'lozach HaSar Mashkim is Yosef Ayushka Chehu. He asked the Sar Mashkim, try to get me out of prison. So the first thing he did was to forget about him. For 2 years they forgot about him until Parah had the dream. And then he needed someone to interpret the dream. He didn't like the interpretations that his Itztagninim gave him. So this Sar Mashkim says, oh, I remember 2 years ago. I was supposed to remind you 2 years ago that this guy is in the prison. He knows how to interpret dreams. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the Poshup Shat and the Pasuk is that there's a cause and effect relationship over here. Parah had a funny dream. He didn't know how to interpret it. Miketz. And then he mentions to all of his Shamosim, to the cabinet, that he doesn't know, he's concerned about his dream. So the Sar Mashkim says, oh, I know a good man for you, Yosef will interpret. So the cause was the dream that Parah had, and the effect was that Yosef went free. So the Medrash drays everything around. No, that's what the Beis Halevi points out. No, the cause was that it was the 2 years were up, the punishment for Yosef for not having Bitochim were up, that was it. So he was supposed to go free. And the effect was that Paro was given a dream in order to get him, in order to let him go free. A lot of times in life, we always assume that what we see first is the cause, and what happens second is the effect. And a lot of times, it's not so. The thing that we see second is really the cause, and the thing that we see first is really the effect. So that's what the Beis Halevi has the comment over here. Some point out that this is, in a certain sense, a brisker style of chiddush. The Briska sometimes will take a din that sounds like this is a cause and this is an effect. I'm going to say everything is fakir. That the effect is the cause and the cause is the effect. Keep your eyes open. When you learn Briska Torah, a lot of times this, Beis Halevi, they say cause and effect are opposite here. A lot of times this is typical of Briska Torah, not the Beis Halevi's Briska Torah, but Rav Chaim is Briska Torah. So all of the commentaries find it difficult to understand what did Yosef do that was wrong over here. The Rebbein Shalom has Hashgacha Pratis and he looks over everything, everybody. But still, why shouldn't a person try to be Mishtad? A person is Mukhif to do a Shtadlos. A person wants to get a Shidduch, so you're just going to dive into the Rebbein Shalom, you should get a Shidduch. He has to call up the girl and make a date and take her out and propose. It's not going to happen by itself. A person needs a Parnasa. Just going to dive in. Eretz Yisrael, they have enemies surrounding them, so they're just going to dive in. They're not gonna, you have to put together an army. You say, Salam Alechom Alei Vecho. In the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, so Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu prepares himself for three things, not just for the Tfilah. Tfilah, he has Bitochen, fine Tfilah, but then he prepares, he gives a Doro, and then he prepares for a Malchama. You have to prepare, that's a Chayvus Shtadlos, and whatever you do, in addition to doing, you have to offer a prayer also. The Gemara in the end of Nida has a discussion. What should a person do to have boys? He wants to have boys as opposed to girls. So the Gemara says, do this, that, and the other thing, and offer a prayer. What should a person do that he should make a lot of money? The Gemara says, A, B, C, and offer a prayer. Everything you do, you have to have a hishtadlus, then you have to offer a prayer. The prayer is, you have bitochen, that the Rebbein Shalom will give you whatever you deserve. I mean, Hashemayim, they give everybody what they deserve. But you can't just sit back, it's not gonna, you can't just sit back and rely on the tefillah. Everyone has a chavis hishtadlus. So what did Yosef do that's wrong over here? He did the normal thing. Anyone in his position would do the exact same thing. It's very paladic. So the Beis Halevi has his famous interpretation. He says that depending on how high, how close a person is to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that Tzaddikim have more Hashgacha Pratis than Beinonim. The closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's more Hashgacha Pratis. So the Meilev, there's more Hashgacha Pratis, so there's less need for Hishtadlus. So Yosef was Baruch HaGevashi Asher Sam Hashem Miftachai Asher HaGevashi Sam Hashem Miftachai. Rashi quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. So Yosef is described as being very, that pasuk in Tehillim is describing Yosef. Zeh Yosef HaTzadik. He was on such a high madrig, he was so close to the Rebbein Shalom, so he was going to have more Hashgacha Pratis. He should have not done so much ishtadlus. For me and for you, this would be normal to do this ishtadlus. There's the guy, try to get me. Don't forget, try to get me out of jail. But for Yosef, because he was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was too much ishtadlus. Why is it too much ishtadlus? Also, missing. We don't understand. The Chazon Ish has an interesting sefer that he started writing while he was alive, never finished. So it wasn't printed until after he died. After he died, they found an incomplete manuscript, and the family decided, didn't have any children, so the family decided it's worth printing the incomplete. His incomplete manuscript is better than other people's complete manuscript. So they printed the incomplete sefer. That's called Emuna Bitochen. So he has a few words about this as well. So he says, Emuna, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha Pratis on all of mankind. But you still have the chayva to do ishtadlus. But the ishtadlus should be something that's reasonable. If a person is going to, the Mitzrayim were known as very ungrateful gang. So the Medrash and the end of Parshas Vayeshev says that's a reference to Yosef and the Mitzrayim. They were Rehovim and Sotei Chozov. They were very ungrateful people. So you should have understood that the Sar Mashkim is not going to absolutely do him any good whatsoever. He's not going to be Makat Toiva to him, and he's not going to remember him, and he should go speak to Paro. This was out of desperation that he was grasping at straws. He understood that this was absolutely useless and valueless and meaningless to ask the Sar Mashkim to help him out. When a person is desperate, then he does stupid things, then he does ridiculous things. So that the fact that he fell to pieces, the fact that Yosef fell to pieces and he was so desperate and he asked the Sar Mashkim to remember him, that shows that he had a lack of bitoch. You have a chavis and shtadlus to do things that are reasonable. So let's say a person is sick, so he goes to a doctor, he needs a better doctor, he goes to a better doctor. But then he starts going to a doctor in the Congo, in the jungles in the Congo, because that's ridiculous already. He went to all the biggest doctors in the world, and shut. What are you starting something crazy, something ridiculous? Out of desperation, a person who is petrified will do stupid things, will do ridiculous things. So that shows that he lacked bitachon over here. But this is so ridiculous. This was an indication that he was that he felt he had fallen to pieces. A lot of times people are dating and then they said they have the heart set, they're going to marry this girl, and then something, it falls apart. So they feel as if the world is coming to an end. The world is not coming to an end. Okay, so you feel bad, you feel hurt. The girl said no. You move on. So you call someone else up. You make another date with someone else. The world doesn't come to an end. A person loses his job. A lot of people losing their jobs these days. It's a tragedy. You don't fall to pieces. You don't think. A lot of times you lose your job, you get a much better job. There was a big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. So he was a rebbe in a little yeshiva out of town, and then his brother's brother-in-law was jealous of them, and he kicked him out of his yeshiva, and he thought the world is coming to an end. And then he had to move to Yerushalayim, and now he's world famous. If he would have, if his brother's brother-in-law would have not kicked him out for the little yeshiva where he was teaching, he would have never become so world famous. Everybody all over the world reads this for him. If not for the fact that he lost his job, he would have been in that hole in that little yeshiva, and no one would have heard of him. A lot of times, the losing your job is the beginning of wonderful things. A person should never fall to pieces. Or the United Nations, they took a position against Medina, so they recognized the Palestinian state. So it's terrible, and we have to do something about it. We have to do something secheldik about it. But it doesn't mean we have to fall to pieces. We should say tilim, and we should do something. Say tilim, that's tefillah. You have to do doron, and you have to try to bribe people. You have to do milchama. You have to protest. You have to do things. You shouldn't fall to pieces as if Medina Yisrael is coming to an end. It's not coming to an end. We hope it's not going to come to an end. If it comes to an end, it means that it's min hashamayim, that it comes to an end. That's what the Chazon Ish explains. What does it mean? What does it mean? Emuna bitochen. So he says bitochen. People make mistakes. Bitochen means a person is deathly sick. He's dying from cancer, so he has bitochen, he's going to survive. That's ridiculous. Who says he's going to survive? Well, he heard from a Navi that he's going to pull through. Bitachon means that a person believes by Emunah Shleima that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything in the world. The Gemara says in the first parak in Chula, a person hurts himself, hurts his finger, there must have been a gzera min hashamayim. And the Chazon Ish quotes the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Lamed Zayin, I think. Daf Lamed Ches, Daf Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches. The Gemara has a loshen, the Tanaim have a loshen. And the Chazon Ish holds that this is the Iker of Emunah. We believe, Bishimcha Yikaruchah, Bimkomcha Yoshivucha. In heaven they have a filing system, they have everybody's number there, and they keep records of everybody. They'll give you what you deserve. So he says, this is the Iker of Emunah that we believe in Hashgacha Pratis. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody whatever they deserve. So a person is deathly sick, so he should have Emunah that whatever is Hakadosh Baruch Hu's will take place. If God wants me to die, so I'm going to die. God wants me to live, so I'm going to live. You have to try to do a shtavus. Don't just sit back and say tilim. You have to go to a doctor. If you need a better doctor, you go to a better doctor if you can afford it. You don't do something stupid, something ridiculous. But within reason, you have to do hishtadlus. And bitachon means a person leads his life in accordance with this emunah. He doesn't fall to pieces. Yosef HaTzadik, because he did such a ridiculous request of the Sar Mashkim, that was an indication that he was acting out of desperation. So a person should never despair. A person should maintain his calm. It's easier said than done, but that's what he explains. That's what bitachon means. Bitachon means you lead a life according to the principle of Emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers Hashgacha Pratos on each and every individual person. Everybody gets what he deserves.
Is that what we said also by Yaakov putting Dina in a box? That was the same thing?
It was a little too much, yeah. He went way too much. He should have done a normal hishtadlus. There's a famous medrash. Commenting about the difference between Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was Chanan al Hashem, Ebron of the era. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to cross over the Yarden, and then Baruch Shalom says no. Then he says, at least let me be buried in Eretz. Baruch Shalom says no. It can't even be buried in Eretz. So we were schlepping the last 40 years. The Oren of Yosef HaTzadik, how come he's Zeicha? For 40 years we're schlepping the Oren. He's going to be Zeicha to be buried in Eretz. I can't even die in it. I can't be buried in Eretz. So the Baruch Shalom says no. Yosef was Hoida B'Yartzoi. When they got him in trouble, so she said, "Hey, Veselena Ish Ivri." What did she say? "Hey, Vilano Ish Ivri." They brought this Jewish guy from Eretz Yisrael, and then he says, "Kigunov gun after me Eretz Ivrim." I was kidnapped from Eretz Ivrim. So they call him a Jew, and he says he's Jewish. He's not hiding it. So because Yosef is Hoida B'Yartzo, he admitted he was proud of the fact that he was from Eretz Yisrael, from Eber Yarden, so that's why he was Zeicha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said, when the Bnei Yisrael said, Ish Mitzvi Hitzilonim Yad Harayim, so he didn't protest. They said Ish Mitzvi, so he didn't say, no, I'm not a Mitzvah, I'm Jewish. So because he wasn't Hoida B'Yartzo, so that's why he wasn't Zeicha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Makshim Ho'elom, Yosef was born in Eretz Yisrael, so he says, I'm an Israeli. Moshe Rabbeinu was never in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean? He was born in Mitzrayim. So what should he say? They said, Ish Mitzvah Yitzelon. What should he say? No, I'm Israeli. He wasn't born. He never was zeichet to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Velt says, but from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov, and to their descendants, so all the Jews all over the world are supposed to be identified as Israelis. They're all supposed to be Hoida B'Yartzo. So that was considered an avla on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he wasn't Hoida B'Yartzo. So that's how the Medrash says. That's why he wasn't Zecha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Years ago, we used to have a Rebbe here in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Rum. He's a very colorful person. He learned in Europe in the Miri Yeshiva, and then when the war broke out, everybody had to run, so he was saved. He went to Mozambique. He said, when he was growing up, he never heard of that country, Mozambique. he thinks it was only established, recognized as a country to save the people from the Miri Yeshiva. He thinks that's the only thing. It's in the news once every couple of months or so. It's a country on the north of Africa. No? So they allowed the Jews to come to save the lives of Mozambique. So then, after Mozambique, then he went there to sort of live there for a few years, and then he came to America and he taught in yeshiva till he passed away. So he said when he lived in Eretz Yisrael, he used to learn the Chavrusa with Rabbi Hillman. Rabbi Hillman was the father-in-law, who was much older than him. Rabbi Hillman was the father-in-law of Chief Rabbi Herzog. So Rabbi Hillman used to tell him every year on Parshas Vayeshev that he was a dayan in a little village. He had learned in Telzi Yeshiva. And he was a dayan in a little village in the northern section of England. And Rabbi Lezer Gordon, Rabbi Lezer Telzer, went to London to raise money for the yeshiva. He had a heart condition, and the doctors told him he's not allowed to travel. He didn't listen to the doctors because the yeshiva needed money. He went to London, and he didn't raise any money, and he got a heart attack, and he died. And he was buried in London, and no one ever visited his grave. He's buried in a Jewish cemetery. None of his family ever visited his grave because it's expensive. They lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they lived in Cleveland. No one ever visited till recent years. People have more money now. The Jews have more money. So in recent years, the family visited his grave. So he said when Rabbi Lezer Telzer died, so all the rabbanim in London know he was a prominent rabbi, but they didn't know too much about him. So they asked him to please come to London for the funeral and to deliver a hesped. So he was, because he had learned in Telzer Yeshiva, so he delivered a hesped, and he was describing the greatness of Rabbi Lezer Telzer. And then he concluded with the pasuk from today's sedra. He said, "Kigunov gunavti me'eretz o'ivrim, chabzachareis gegamvet." I snuck out from Lithuania, the country where all the Jews live. The gampolo asisi miuma, and I didn't raise a penny over here. And now kisamo osi babor. Now they're going to bury me 6 feet under. So the Balabatim in London thought, this guy is a genius. The whole hesped they didn't care for. He was telling the godless or blessed stuff, but the concluding line, the pasuk, the interpretation of the pasuk, naka. So they appointed him to be a dayan in London. And the London doesn't. He was the head. He was the chief dayan in the London doesn't. And then Yaakov Herzog, who is the son of Chief Rabbi Herzog, writes, he wrote, and he died very young, he wrote in his autobiography about the way his parents met. So he writes that Rabbi Hillman was the chief dayan in London. He was appointed a big Talmud Chacham, appointed chief dayan in London. And one year there was a Shnas Batzoris for Pesach. There wasn't enough wheat to make a Pesach like a flour and so on. So they just had a little bit of matzahs. They were going to starve on Pesach. So the minig always was in Europe then, was a Shnas Batzoris, so the Rabbanim would gather together and be mekel on eating kidneys. If they felt there's not enough food to eat, so they would allow. So Rabbi Hillman called the meeting, all the Rabbanim should come. So at that time, Rabbi Herzog was a bacher, he was single, and he lived in Ireland. So he was also invited. I think that's how the story goes. He was also invited to come to the meeting. So all the Rabbanim were sitting around at Rabbi Hillman's home in London, and Rabbi Hillman asked his daughter Sarah to please serve tea. So she was serving the tea, and then this guy was very good looking. Rabbi Herzog was very handsome. So when she was pouring the tea, she was staring at him, and by accident she poured the hot water on his trousers. And he was staring at her. So it was love at first sight. So they met each other by accident, and then they married. That's what he writes in the beginning of his autobiography. And then he says his name was Yaakov. He was named Yaakov after the Ritvaz, Rabbi, his father, Rabbi Herzog, had smicha. He was brought up in Ireland. And the Ritvaz, Rabbi Yankov David, what was his last name? I forgot already. He was a rabbi in Slutsk. So he had given Rabbi Herzog smicha. So the Ritvaz had passed away, so they named him Yaakov David after the Ritvaz. Difficult parshas here, difficult parshas. Okay, very good. Is it possible to have the minyan now for mincha? Do we have people interested? Another couple of minutes. Okay.
chazan is saying emunah is just the mindset. And you talk about the, like, koach el poel, I think?
Yeah. Bitocha means to lead your life in accordance with the emunah of Hashgacha Pratis.
Different stickers, fine. He has
the Mishlam Melch interprets all three like that. Zalzlam and Ashvacha is, and the other one also, I forgot. So he interprets all three have to do with this one issue.